JC Corcoran Podcast.
George W. Bush solutions now for global warming. Oh. Here we go, number 10. NASA mission to turn down the sun's thermostat. Number 9, federal subsidies to boost production of cool ranch Doritos. Number 8, fast-track Rumsfeld colonized Neptune proposal. Number 7, convene Blue Ribbon Committee to explore innovative ways of ignoring the problem. Number 6, let Hillary worry about it when she takes over. Number five, tax cuts for the rich. Number 4, give the boys at Halliburton a $90 billion contract to patch hole in ozone. Number 3, switch to Celsius so scorching 98 degrees becomes frosty 37. Number 2, keep plenty of Bud on ice.
Now you're talking.
And the number 1, George W. Bush solution for global warming, invade Antarctica. There you go.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Day, October 25th, 2022, 14 days before it all starts coming down. Rain, as we told you yesterday morning, was going to be an issue, and it is. This morning got hydroplaning all over the place, but at least it's not freezing cold yet, and it may not get freezing cold anytime soon. They just released the 8 to 10 day forecast that basically shows the entire Midwestern region, but it's an unusual pattern because it actually runs north to south. So in other words, it goes all the way up to Canada and then goes straight down like all the way to New Orleans. And there's this huge swath that is going to be experiencing warmer than usual temperatures. And I can remember some Halloween nights that were just brutal. Oh my God. You know, and you got little kids. This is when my daughters were really, really small. And so they were really, really looking forward to Halloween. They've been talking about it for months. And then they pick out their little princess outfits. Maybe even put a little makeup on them before they go out. You know, everything is just in high gear for this big, you know, somebody's giving away free candy. Everybody's giving away free candy. Holy shit. And you get them ready to go. And then you go outside and the temperature is like 31. The 40 mile an hour wind out there just cut you in half. And those little outfits, those little ballerina outfits are made out of like satin material. You know, just that cheap nylon stuff. And the wind will just reduce you to tears. It's so cold. I remember one year, you know, after all of that run up to Halloween, my daughter went to two houses and said, that's it. Forget it. She was probably only about 4 or 5 at the time. But, you know, Mama didn't raise no fool. She knew that this was bullshit. It's too cold. We even tried the smudge pot thing, you know, where you build some bonfire or something. And you try, the parents all try to, like, sit around. But when that wind is blowing, you could have a fire the size of Burning Man, and it's just not going to keep you warm. And so, and then, but also I remember the first year that my daughter trick or treated, and she was only about 3 at the time and didn't really sort of understand what was going on. And I still remember we, instead of trick or treating in our neighborhood, and I don't remember why this happened, but you know what it is? It might have had something to do with my lawyer. My lawyer lived right down the street from Tom Eagleton. And so we ended up actually trick or treating at the former senator's home in the Clayton area, and it must have been 75 degrees. It was just beautiful out. But I have to tell you this one story. When we lived in Houston, briefly, we had Halloween there one year, obviously, because we were living there. And so it's October 31st, and we were in a neighborhood that had just been built. I mean, they finished the house on a Thursday, and we moved in on a Saturday, okay? And beautiful housing subdivision, really, really nice. and a lot of Indians and Iranians and just a lot of people from the Middle East were in this neighborhood. They're very, very sweet people, very, very nice. And you know how it is, because whether it's the Bosnians or really any sort of group that sort of clusters together when they move into a certain part of the country, they want to be around people, like themselves. And we, and I say we like a dorky white guy here, we tend to be that way too. And that's why you have, people like Barack Obama saying you need to get more friends who don't look like you. And I've always believed in cultural diversity, and it's got nothing to do with politics or anything. It's like, look, I'm trying to prepare my daughters for the world that they're going to encounter when they are no longer under my roof. And they got to go out there in the real world and find a job and just communicate and make friends. And while it isn't that prevalent in a place like St. Louis, and this is one of the bad things about St. Louis, is because there are lines drawn in the sand all over the place with regard to the mixing of different cultural groups. People who have never lived outside the city of St. Louis, they're unaware to a large part about the way the world is outside of St. Louis. It's not as segregated in most other cities. And I can tell you that from having lived in, 13 other cities. And the bigger the metropolitan area, the more you're going to see cultural diversity. And having lived in Washington, D.C., Chicago, Houston, Texas, and having spent so much time in California and New York, I always talk about this. Between 1985 and 1999, I was in New York 225 times, and in L.A., I think it was 275 times, all told something like 425 trips over about a 14 or 15-year period, doing all that traveling for the entertainment business and all that stuff that you used to see on TV and that you would hear on the radio. New Batman movie coming out. Go on out to California, interview George Clooney. That's right, I got the rotten Batman. That's right, because in 1989, I guess it was, I did get Michael Keaton and Tim Burton. So I did do that. And then the Boy Wonder from the Midwest, including relatives here in St. Louis. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I'm just telling you the cold, hard facts here, and that, St. Louis, as more and more people seem to be discovering, is a disturbingly segregated city, and it's more fun when you have cultural diversity, I think. And I do it, somewhat because I just think it's the right thing to do, the intelligent thing to do. And also, I have been in many situations where I was considered, a little bit of an outlier, a little bit of an outcast. You move into a city, nobody knows anything about you. Like I said, I moved 10 times in 10 years coming into the business. And it's no fun always being the stranger. You come in, you get an apartment, and people are sort of like checking out, going, all right, what's up with this guy? He leaves at like 4 o'clock in the morning and comes back, and then he's home all day. What the hell sort of job do you have? And they immediately become suspicious. Then they find out what you do, and then all of a sudden you're really, really popular. Oh, this is the guy on the radio. Can you play a song for me? Hey, my girlfriend's birthday is next week. She'd love to hear her name. So now you become very, very popular. But the overwhelming majority of people that you interact with, they don't have any idea what you do, and so you are just a stranger. And I know really how unpleasant a feeling that can be. And when people, have brown skin and they notice that nobody in the neighborhood seems to be talking to us, well, I know the feeling, not because I have brown skin, but because you're treated differently. In my case, because I'm always the stranger. In their case, the color of their skin is different, and in some cases, culturally, they're different people. So we're in Houston, and this couple lived, about 6-7 houses down the street from us, and we took our daughter out trick-or-treating, and I don't know where these people were from. Could have been Indian, I'm not really sure, but they had very, very dark skin, and they were clearly from, somewhere in the Middle East. And the lady, after she gave my daughter the candy, said to me, "Are we doing this right?" It was the sweetest thing ever. Clear, they had really, really little kids. And it became obvious to me that this was the first time they were ever trying to do the whole Halloween thing, and they weren't really sure if they were doing it right. And so they asked us. I'll say it again. It was an incredibly sweet moment. And we're like, you did it great. You got the decorations up, and you know, you gave out the candy and the whole thing. And it's like, and they were just sort of looking at us like, whew, good. All right, thanks. It was just one of those real sweet moments that you have every once in a while. But right now, the temperature in St. Louis for Halloween, which is next Monday night, high of 65 degrees. So that means, you know, maybe low 60s, upper 50s for trick-or-treaters. And count your blessings on that one if, for whatever reason, you are going to be out with kids. And sometimes, you know, people are like, JC, who do you think's listening to you? Just because you might be a little older, you got grandkids, you got nieces, nephews. A lot of families have family members who, you know, sort of live close to one another, and you take out your nieces and your nephews on Halloween. It's funny how people get into it. My mother-in-law lives in Maryland Heights, and there's a street that I have to turn on to get to her house, which is sort of over behind that Schnucks at Dorset and Fifi. And this guy lives in a house that I would not describe as a mansion, not exactly Mar-a-Lago. And this guy every year puts on Halloween decorations and Christmas decorations that the accumulated cost has got to be worth more than the actual house itself. And my daughter, who is now 13, had been telling me for the last couple of months that she's not going to trick-or-treat this year. She's too old for this. She's gone every year up until now, but no, no trick-or-treating for me, Dad. And then all of a sudden, 2 days ago, she comes to me and says, I got to get a Halloween costume. I'm like, what are you talking about? For 3 months, you've been telling me you're not going to go trick-or-treating. Well, there's this boy at school, and I'm like, here we go. Mason. Wants to take her trick-or-treating on Monday night. So Mason will be fully interrogated next Monday night before they go out trick-or-treating. Yes, you're right. I'm stalling. I figured you'd been pummeled so badly with reports about the shooting yesterday and then the aftermath, and then you start shaking out the details, and then you go to talk radio, and the idiots start calling up.
There ain't nothing wrong with guns. I got a gun in the closet. I got a rifle in the closet. It never hurt nobody. Nothing wrong with the gun. The gun didn't commit the crime.
Like, all right. I'm starting to find this whole thing sort of funny in a really twisted, perverted way. Not amusing funny. Funny as in, well, you know, it goes back to the definition of insanity, where you do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome, and that is exactly what's going on. You know, it occurred to me this morning while I was getting up, getting ready to do the show, that we have all these countries around the world that we look down our noses at. You know, countries that seem to be primitive, countries that seem to have governments that are out of control, and you get Putin pushing people out of the window of a 10-story building because he's Putin. That's what he does. You get countries and you see them on the news. The reporter's standing there and it just looks like a pile of rocks and sand, and people are trying to survive in these countries. You have people without running water. You hear about corruption in places like, you know, Venezuela, Mexico, you know, all throughout Central America. Look at the people in Ukraine. They're just sitting there just trying to live their lives, not knowing if they're going to be dead in 5 minutes because a rocket, a giant bomb, just gets launched into their neighborhood. And they got to get up every day knowing that, you know, this could be it. We look at countries where women are treated like second-class citizens, try like fifth-class citizens. And so many of these people in what we consider primitive countries, like I said, we look down our noses at them, hear about this stuff that happened in St. Louis and seems to be, you know, happening, you know, every couple of weeks. How do you think it looks to them? You know, up until recently, you know, everybody wanted to come to America. Now, maybe they still want to come, but they're sitting there going, they're doing what? They have everything in the world. They got everything they need. They got food on the table every night. They got running water. They got a system of government, at least for now, that that preaches liberty and fairness and all that sort of stuff. They got fancy cars. They spend outrageous amounts of disposable income to go watch people play football, or to go watch somebody sing and perform at a concert. They have, certainly from their perspective, and really from our own perspective, for God's sakes, but especially for them, they're just sitting there imagining this country that they've seen things about and they've heard things about, the country that just seems to have it all, or does it? Because you send your kids away to school and you may never see them again. Or you go to a shopping mall and somebody comes in and shoots the place up. Or you go to church or whatever house of worship that you choose and somebody comes in with a gun and starts shooting the place up. And you imagine that guy sitting in a pile of rocks in Iraq or Iran or in a kibbutz in Israel, and they're going, and so, well, what are they doing about it? Well, that's the funny part, Shlomo. They're doing nothing. Wait a minute. In America, they got all this going for them, and this keeps happening over and over, and nobody's doing anything to stop it? Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I've said this a million times. I guess I'll say it again just for clarification. I'm not anti-gun. If you want a gun, go ahead, get a gun. I don't have one. I don't feel like I need one. I've never fired a gun. I hope to get through my entire life without ever having to fire a gun. And at the same time, if I felt like I needed one, I would get one. But here's what I always say. If you have a traffic problem, the solution to that traffic problem is not to add more cars. And I heard somebody, a caller, you know, these callers call these radio stations and oh my God, this is why things are the way they are. But then all of a sudden, a diamond in the rough, you know, a guy calls in and goes, well, here's how I look at it. If you buy a new car today, it almost certainly has a backup camera. You know, you put it into reverse and there on your screen, on your dashboard, you got a camera built into the back end of the car and you can see behind you. And it is considered a very attractive safety issue because sometimes you have kids playing in a driveway. Sometimes you have a kid going by on a bike. Sometimes an old person isn't really paying attention and they're walking by and you don't want to run over them, okay? And even in terms of parking and things like that, you got that backup camera and you know, you're trying to slip into a very tight parking space. This keeps you from denting the guy or just, you know, having some sort of an accident. You back out of your driveway and it looks like the scene out of Office Space where you're just T-boned. You get a backup camera with the new car and it prevents a lot of these things from happening. You still might get into an accident. You still might run over somebody. All of those things could still happen. But with the presence of that backup camera, I mean, Jesus, if it works once where you're backing up and a kid comes by on a tricycle and you don't kill him by running him over, that backup camera seems to have been a pretty good idea. And that's how I look at these situations. It's like, gun control doesn't work. And it's the same people who, you know, were told to wear a mask during COVID and still got sick. Well, I put a mask on, I still got sick. Therefore, masks don't work. No, that's not what that means. That means in your particular case, the mask didn't work, or did it? It's like the vaccinations. You might still get COVID, but you won't end up in the hospital and dying. Anybody remember all those 18-wheelers they were pulling up next to hospitals with refrigeration units and using them for temporary morgues? So you start getting into this ridiculous tail-chasing argument about whether or not getting some guns out of the hands of some people might be a good idea. And I applaud the NRA because they polled the NRA people and members of the NRA, it's like 6 million people, and they said, you know, how do you feel about better background checks? You know, just stuff like that. And the overwhelming majority, I mean, it's in the 80s. In the 80s of NRA members saying, absolutely. But somewhere, somebody is still pushing back on this stuff, and the politicians are already bought and sold, and we'll go nowhere, and nothing will happen, and there'll be another one of these in 2 or 3 weeks, and people will start talking about thoughts and prayers, and how can this happen in this country, and blah, 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 blee, blah. as Steve Mizrani used to say. And that's all I say now when people start pushing back on this stuff. And you start saying maybe it would be a good idea to keep some guns, some, out of some people's hands, some people's hands. Wouldn't you be in favor of that? No. And then I say, all right, so what is your plan? What do you mean? Well, okay, you don't like the idea of any kind of gun control at all or better background checks or anything like that. Okay, fine. We obviously have this problem with schools and community centers and churches and hospitals getting shot up by people. So surely you want this to stop, but you don't want to use any form of gun control or better background checks. So please tell me, because I want to know, what is your plan? And it's amazing. Just things get very, very quiet. So basically the idea here is these things will continue to occur. Nobody is doing anything. This kid yesterday, by the way, had a big, big bag of magazines. He was not interested in killing just two people yesterday. He was interested in really taking out the entire place. His gun jammed. Hardy har har. Gun jammed. Cops were able to take him out. Do you know the SWAT team was practicing at the time, apparently not far from the school. They're like, hey guys, we have to stop this rehearsal, this exercise, this practice, and we got to go and do the real thing. So everybody into the van, let's go. Some female reporter in the news conference yesterday, I don't know if you caught this, and I really would like to know who this was. The reporter, they were having the news conference, had Jackerson, and the mayor was not there for whatever reason, but there were a couple of other officials, and female reporter, and she was out of the shot, so I couldn't see who it was, asked these people up at the podium why it took the police and the SWAT team 8 whole minutes to get there and get the situation rectified. And the people were looking at each other like, is she really suggesting that 8 minutes constituted some sort of dereliction of duty? And I would have just said to her, are you crazy, woman? But instead, everybody's just sort of kept their cool up there, and they answered the question in a far more respectful fashion than the question from the reporter deserved. It's just it's amazing what people will say. It's amazing what people will say sometimes. So let's get ready for the next one. How's it all going to end? Will it ever end? Something really, really catastrophic is going to have to happen. Not that the thing in St. Louis yesterday, or the thing at the grocery store in Buffalo a couple of months ago, or the shooting in Las Vegas, or the nightclubs in Florida. Something as horrifying as those were, it's going to take something really, really catastrophic. Maybe a bunch of relatives of some powerful politicians will have to get caught in some sort of mass shooting. And then we'll see everybody rise to their feet, and they'll name a bill after the wife of some senator who was gunned down in a parking lot, if in fact it even happens then. As awful a day as it appears to be out there, don't complain. Things are drying up, and there are few people complaining. A lot of people are just like, oh, thank God, finally some rain. People's lawns are just drying up and blowing away. And also, the Mississippi River, because of the drought, and there's a terrible drought, the river is so low that down in Memphis, they say this is the worst they've seen it in 70 years. There's an economic crisis because 60% of all grain in this country is shipped by river. And the boats and the barges on the Mississippi, they're stuck because the water level is so low. So hopefully this is going to really help things out. All right, to the mundane, everyone. Come along, won't you? Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey announced a couple of Christmas concerts for December. One is Canada. The other one is New York. Tickets go on sale Friday morning. She can't sing anymore. She was a very, very accomplished singer in her day, but she is not taking care of herself or her throat, her voice, you know, all of the things that make a good singer good. She just can't sing anymore. Jimmy Fallon's got Sigourney Weaver, Charlize Theron on with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got George R.R. Martin and Eddie Redmayne. James Corden, Billy Porter, Chelsea Handler, and Andy Grammer. And Trevor Noah's got Ralph Macchio. Apple TV and Apple Music increasing their prices. Wayne Brady will host the 2022 American Music Awards. That is on Sunday, November 20th. God, we're getting into awards season again. When Brian Johnson had to leave AC/DC because of hearing issues, he said he thought about ending it all. He said he was going to run his car into a wall. Barack Obama joined Peyton and Eli last night on the Manning cast for Monday Night Football. You're going to see a lot of Barack Obama these days because the pollsters are seeing that there doesn't seem to be a candle lit under the black community of voters. And without them, what already looks like it could be a very, very dark night for the Democrats coming up in 2 weeks. You know, he might be able to mitigate some of this by getting more of the black vote out there. The one is Pennsylvania. God, Dr. Oz now trailing by 2 points. 2 points. And as you probably know, if you've been following all of this, there's just a couple of states that are going to really tell the whole story. Pennsylvania, obviously, is one of them. Nevada, Arizona, those are the big ones. Those are the big ones. Birthdays today. She gives her goodies to Russell Wilson of the NFL. Ciara is 37 today. Katy Perry, she kissed a girl, you know, 38. Pedro Martinez, Hall of Fame pitcher, 3 Cy Youngs. Samantha, 51. Samantha Bee, 53. Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, 65. John Anderson, for my money, one of the most exciting performers you can pay to see. Obviously, lead singer of Yes. Now he's in that version of Yes called Yes featuring ARW along with Trevor Rabin and Rick Wakeman. And we saw them at the Fox Theater a couple of years back. Just one of the great nights of my life. John Anderson, unbelievably 78 and can still sing and sing well. Marion Ross, that would be Mrs. C. Marion Cunningham on Happy Days. Marion Ross, a delightful woman, by the way, had her in the studio a couple of different times. What a sweetheart. At 94 today, 67 years ago. Now, let me just tell you something. I was in Buffalo, New York in 1983. 1983 is when I got my first microwave. The first microwave oven was sold by Tappan on this date in 1955, 67 years ago. Thing cost $1,200, but of course it, you know, will fry your bacon in 90 seconds. 58 years ago today, 1964, the Stones made their first appearance on Ed Sullivan. A lot of people complained, and some people even said, Ed Sullivan said, hey, you're never going to be on the air again with the Rolling Stones. Of course, they showed up again a year later. 44 years ago today, 1978, the first Halloween movie was released. On this date, 42 years ago, 1980, that nutty Pope said divorced Catholics who remarry can only receive communion if they abstain from sex. Yeah, that's a workable solution. Ha! 36 years ago today, Game 6 of the World Series, Mookie Wilson, slow roller to first, and between Buckner's legs. Took a little heat off of Leon Durham. Bill Graham died in a helicopter crash while returning from a Huey Lewis concert in Northern California on this date 31 years ago. Vincent Price died of lung cancer at the age of 82 on this date in 93. Sole Moonfry married some very, very lucky guy by the name of Jason Goldberg. 24th anniversary today. And this was that, oh man, I remember this because I was home for some reason. It was 1999. And you're watching this and they're like, Payne Stewart's flight. He's got a private jet, and something's wrong here. And, of course, he crashed in South Dakota a couple of hours later. I still remember they sent up an Air Force jet or something. They said, fly real close to him and see if you can see into the cockpit. So this guy flies up there, and he looks in, and he goes, well, I can see that the entire windshield of the plane is just solid ice, and there doesn't appear to be anybody at the controls. And the rest, as they say, is history. I would like to talk about beef right now. Went to Costco yesterday, and even with the Costco gas price was only $3.09 yesterday. But you go in there and you're like looking at the beef and it's just too depressing. It's a couple of steaks. It's like $59. And you're like, Jesus Christ. And I don't eat a lot of red meat, but every once in a while I like a good steak. A big poll on steak preferences found medium rare is our favorite way to order it. But watch out, because if you order a well-done steak on a first date and you put ketchup on it, your chances of a second date really go down a lot. She's watching everything, or he's watching everything. Favorite steak sauce is A1. 9% of us don't like any kind of seasoning on our steak when we cook it. Everybody else either said steak seasoning or salt and pepper. 9% is just put the steak on the thing and then, boy, that's boring. Best way to cook a steak is still on the grill. Our favorite side to have with steak is baked potatoes. And 64% would choose steak as their final meal. Somebody asked me that question once. It's your final meal. You're in prison and you're about to be executed. What would you order for your final meal? And I always give the same answer. Hamburger, fries, and a Coke to go.
Good morning, everybody.
And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, October 25th, 2022 is in the can. 14 days until the beginning of the end. We're here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. Please spread the word. Email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran, although I'm suspended right now and I can't post anything for like three more weeks. But I'll be back. You know that. And I'll be back in the morning. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. I'll go ahead and see you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.